Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Fred P. Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti in virtual company of three Oscar winners, Meryl Streep, Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks, in Italy to present The Post to the Italian audiences. The first question goes to Steven Spielberg. Did you decide to shoot this film now because you think that the freedom of the press is under attack?
Well, you know, the free press are the guardians of democracy. That's what I was raised to believe, and it's what I find to be the incontrovertible truth. But when you look back at 1971, when Richard Nixon, President Nixon, tried through the courts to deny the free press the right to publish these stories of the Pentagon Papers and took it all the way to the Supreme Court, the lower court, or the appellate court, actually found for the president and did stop the New York Times from publishing for a number of days. That was the first time that had happened since the American Civil War. I felt that the free press is under attack again today. The relevance of the story in 1971 and the story that I read in Liz Hanna and Josh Singer's script in 2017, interesting 1771, big pendulum swing, and we're right back to where we were, perhaps worse today than 1971.
What kind of an impact did this film have on the American press and the American audiences?
We received tremendous support from the American press. Obviously, you know, the film supports a beleaguered press that is, you know, certainly withstanding a lot of attacks from the administration, a lot of disinformation, a lot of abusive labels like fake news if a story doesn't please the president. But I think the press truly embraced the film not just because of the political message or the defense of a free press that the film is about, but they embraced the film because it's of the strength of Katharine Graham and the amazing journey of that character, that real-life character that Meryl Streep so absolutely brilliantly portrays in a woman who is at the top of her profession but cannot find her own voice in a world of men, in a boardroom of men, in just you know, in just a society of men. Here was a woman who had every reason and every right to tell them off, tell them exactly what she felt, and she had trouble finding her voice until a very crucial moment. And I think the majority of the press in our country has really found that to be the emotional core of the story, and the Ben Bradley Katharine Graham relationship is a dynamic that I've not experienced before as a director of any movie. I've never had this kind of a strong male-female relationship in any of my films until now, and thank God it happened on Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep's watch. I was very lucky.
In all fairness, the New York Times wishes the movie was called The New York Times.
A question for Mrs. Streep. What do you think that the figure like Katharine Graham can teach women who are now fighting to get respect and equal treatment?
What drew me to this character? Well, first of all, this script was written version of the script was written by Liz Hanna. It was bought by Amy Pascal 6 days before the election. We thought it would be a nostalgic look back at how far we've come as women. And with a female president, everyone thought this would happen. And then the election happened. And then the increased hostility to a free press and an increased aggression against women exhibited at the very top of our government. So it became a story of how far we have not come. So probably I should shut up.
The next question is for Tom Hanks. You all managed to rebuild 17th newsroom in the most perfect way. How did you feel in a newspaper editor-in-chief shoes? Mrs. Tripp, your character teaches us that you can learn how to be brave. Do you think that courage can be taught?
The great Ben Bradley was a... you're going to do this in tandem with me. I'm not going to... you're going to say it right at... ready? Are you ready to go? The great Ben Bradley was a very competitive man. He was a beast. He had a great, great passion for getting not just a story, but the story. In June of 1971, the Washington Post was in a lockstep competition with the Washington Star, which was at the time the number one paper in Washington, D.C. The idea that the New York Times would have a story that the Washington Post did not have was something that kept Ben Bradley awake at night. He was incensed by this reality. One of the most fun scenes was in the boardroom when they are all reading the reports of the New York Times, and Ben Bradley says, "We're sucking hind tit in our own backyard." That was a great fun scene to get, because right there was all the passion as well as the challenge that was left for the rest of the film. Walk away.
So to your question about courage, this film really originated with the courage of Daniel Ellsberg, who was a person very closely tied in, worked for the State Department, worked for the Rand Corporation. He was a journalist, soldier. He decided to really defy the Espionage Act and steal state secrets. He took them to Neil Sheehan at the New York Times, who risked everything along with his editors to publish. For 3 days, they published these incredibly upsetting to the American audience papers, which told them that their government had been lying to them through four administrations, and that the fifth, Richard Nixon's, was suppressing this revelation. And then... should I stop? Anyway, there were many acts of courage. It came to the Washington Post, who was really at this time not only number two paper in Washington, but they were the little sister to the New York Times. New York Times was the eminence grise, you know. And it fell to a woman. At that time, no one here is old enough to remember, but 1971, there were very, very few women reporters. Every woman here would be not in the room. When you say the newsroom was accurately depicted in our film, it was all white and all men in terms of the reporters. There were secretaries. But there were many acts of courage along the way, and among them was Katharine Graham's to defy Nixon. And it took a lot to do that because she had no sense of her own authority. She felt that she didn't belong in this position of leadership. And yet she became the first head of a Fortune 500 company that was female, and she more than owned her place in our culture. She wrote a Pulitzer Prize-winning autobiography. She's one of the great women of the 20th century. So to answer your question, can courage be learned? I think Katharine Graham learned it, but we don't teach it to our girls as often. Ben Bradley, played by Tom, is one of the most courageous, recklessly courageous characters I've ever come across. He was so willing to put everything on the line. But he learned this at 21? 20? He was
a young journalist. Yes, yes.
No, no. He was an ensign.
Oh, he was
in the Navy.
Yes.
In the war. And he commanded how many young men's lives?
Hundreds. Something like 125 crewmen on board a destroyer.
So he was called very early to this courage. And so if we ask more of our girls, maybe they'll step up too.
I'm just going to add to that and really complicate this story. Tom already mentioned to you, and so did Merrill, that the Washington Post in 1971 was the second string newspaper in Washington. The Washington Star was the star of Washington journalism.
And there were two others.
And there were two others as well. But the thing about Ben Bradlee was Ben Bradlee had an appetite. He had a huge appetite. This is why he was presumptuous to the point of taking on the New York Times. No one would take on the New York Times. It was arguably the most important newspaper in the United States of America in 1971, and arguably it still is today. But he had an appetite for where the Washington Post needed to go as he looked out into the future, into where the Washington Post had to be so it would be worthy of him being the editor of a paper. So he basically not only took on the New York Times and felt very competitive when they got the story first, but later with Watergate, he was the one that pulled out all the stops. And this time, I think Ben Bradlee, which is not part of our film, but it can be inferred in our film, Ben Bradlee inspired Katharine Graham to think bigger than she ever thought of herself or her newspaper. And together, they allowed Carl Bernstein and Bob Woodward to go after Richard Nixon, which led to his resignation. The Washington Post did that.
But Ben Bradlee never assumed anything other than this. Kay Graham was his boss.
Right.
Why do you think that it took us so much time to finally say time's up with sexual harassment, violence, and gender discrimination?
So why has it taken so long for us to call time's up? I think it's because we're human beings. We're slow learners, maybe. But this is not a new battle. It's just one that, for some reason, I don't know. I don't know why. But for some reason, the air is changed. And not just in Hollywood, but in the military, in Congress, in industry, in every workplace, women have had it right here. And it's great that this has opened up. I think it is because of Hollywood and all the bold-faced names and all the young, beautiful women involved. Because if these were restaurant workers, if they were people who worked in hospitals, in care homes, the United Farm Workers, the female farm workers, have been working on these issues for years and years. Many people have. But it's when Hollywood became involved that things started to change. People felt brave. And I hope it continues. I anticipate it'll go back a little, and then we'll go forward again. But I'm very optimistic. It's a very exciting time.
And Mr. Spielberg, how do you think the status of the relationships between women and men is changing at the moment in the U.S.?
The question you ask me, I would need to be the greatest writer. I would need to be a social psychologist. I would need to have my own talk show on American television, which was syndicated here in Italy, where everybody was coming to me for advice in order for me to answer the question of the most arcane and also the most troubling question, which has provoked books, novels, television, miniseries, film, and all kinds of hectic chaos in the home. And that is this conundrum, the battle of the sexes. You know, women have all through history tried and often succeeded to break the mold that men have placed them in. But it's ebb and flow. There was a tremendous opportunity in World War II when American women dominated the factories, the munitions plants, the shipyards, manufacturing, the war machinery that allowed America to, with its allies, to save Western civilization. But when at the end of the war, the women all came home. The men all came home, and the women also came back to the kitchen, to the homemaking, to the homes, and did not stay in those important jobs, did not find a way to capitalize on the trades, on the skills that they had learned over 4 or 5 years. It's a power struggle, and I don't have the expertise to really answer this question in the correct way, except to say that throughout history, there have been moments, watershed moments for women. But this is less of a problem for women than it is a problem for men who have to learn to get control of themselves, who have to learn how to cede control and how to behave appropriately and how to take no for an answer. And until men learn to take no for an answer, it is going to continue to be a power struggle. So all I can say is I hope our film was a very small step in the right direction to inspire women who have not found their voice, who don't know how to find their voice, but feel they have the right to speak, to say, oh, fuck it, I'm going to say what I want to say. And they just go out and they do it.
And I would like to thank Meryl Streep, Steven Spielberg, and Tom Hanks for presenting The Post. And this is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio,
24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.